Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Thank you for tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line tonight my big sister Sheila G. on the line tonight.
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God, and my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
I'm right here.
Amen. We thank God for another week where we get together and study the Word. And so we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we'll be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, on last week, last Thursday, studying the book of Acts, 7th chapter, and we ended up on verse 9, and we asked the question of everyone and our listeners on our Bible study, was God still with them? And in that verse 9, chapter 7, it says, "And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him." And, you know, a lot of the testimony was awesome about how God was with Joseph, who came through the covenant or the promise of God that he would bring about the Messiah, Jesus, the Messiah of God. But through this lineage that went from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Stephen, who is rehearsing this these 60 verses in chapter 7 to the religious leaders at the time, Stephen was letting them know that God never promised that it was going to be easy, but he promised that he would be with them.
Amen.
And he's going through the different situations in people's lives, circumstances, and all of the patriarchs or the people of faith lives, and even through dysfunction, even through trials, even through tribulations, even through what our father called living business, God was still true to his covenant. And no matter what they were going through, God was still with them. And we said on last week that God knows the beginning and the end at the same time, and that God will take our misery and turn it into our ministry, and that God will use things that we consider unbearable or unthinkable and use it to prepare for the blessing in the future. And it's a tough pill to swallow, but it is going to benefit in the long run. And that's one of the things we were talking about in the Daily Bread today. We were talking about the swallow or the bittersweet or something like that, where it was talking about the prophets that ate the word of God and it was sweet, but it was bitter in their stomach. And so some of the things that we go through are bitter on the front end, but on the back end, it's good for us. And so here we see God working through Stephen to tell these people that God is true to his covenant. And here's the history lesson, like you were saying last week. Here's the history lesson of how God's been good, even through all of the trials and the tribulation. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's what, you know, one of the things that we pointed out, how important it is that he is given this history lesson, because sometimes we do forget how good God is, you know, especially if we're young in our ministry, young in our walk with Christ. When we start going through things, and we've all of us have been through a situation where we were like upset with the Lord. You know, it's like, God, I've done this, I've done this, I've tried to live right, but all these things keep happening, and I'm tired. I'm just tired. But then God brings to our remembrance that I didn't say it was going to be easy, but I said I'll be with you always. And then when we start thinking on those things as you grow, you think about how you bless. Okay, this may be tough right now, but God, I can name, you know, that song, Count Your Blessings, and name them one by one. And a lot of times that's what we need to do, is to retroactively look back, as Steve is doing to these religious leaders, about how good God has been, even when things are bad. And even when we're upset with the Lord about what we may be going through, he's still true to us when we recount, okay, you know what? I'm going to thank you for the little things. I'm just going to praise you. I'm going to give you honor, you know, give you honor and glory, even though I don't understand why I'm going through this, because his ways are not like our ways. And that's something that we have to continue, is to recount our own personal history, our own personal walk, our personal way of how God has brought us through, and that helps us to deal with the tough times.
Amen. And Dr. G, as we study this history lesson and we study this word, how does this help to equip the church for the 21st century, the lessons that are involved, the trials that are involved, the people that are involved, the things that just are explained? How does that help the church of the day that, you know, these people went through tough times, but God was with them and God allowed them to come out? How does this history lesson, or how should it help the church, the 21st century church, or the church of today?
Well, it should let everyone know that God is, he was the same God back then as he is today, and that he doesn't change, and whatever he says in his word is still good back then, the first century church, all the way to the 21st century church, that nothing has changed. And we can look back on how they suffered and actually do a comparison on how we suffer. And, you know, we've often said when we get on the line that there's nothing new under the sun. The trials, the tribulations, I mean, they're all the same. The styles have changed, but there's nothing new that they didn't go through that we haven't gone through. But it doesn't change the fact that God is still the same as he was back then, as he is today.
Amen. And Sheila G., as we look at verse 10, this is the I would call it the hope that our faith rides on. And in verse 10 it says, and delivered him out of all his afflictions. And so our faith is in God, that no matter what the situation is, no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, that we know by faith that God is our deliverer, and
mm-hmm.
that he'll deliver us out of all our affliction. And we don't know how he'll do it, but but we know that he's working it out for our good, and
right.
that in spite of the deep challenges, in spite of the deep disappointments, in spite of the dysfunction, in spite of the shortcomings of men and man and his ways, that eventually God will deliver us out of all our afflictions.
Amen. As you were saying that, when you were saying it may not be the way that we want it, but he does deliver us out of our afflictions. And I have a modern day example of that is when I had been a job, that job when I was working with FEMA for 13 years, and I was like one of the top mm-hmm. employees. The last 2 years got really, really crazy. It got really, so, you know, I'm praying to God to deliver me from this evil that's coming to get me, coming against me, and I'm trusting that he's going to deliver mm-hmm. me. But the way I thought he was going to deliver me was that he was just going to move all, you know, all my enemies out the way, that he was going to move, you know, his delivering me out of all my troubles was to change my surroundings and change the environment
mm-hmm.
that I am at that job. But what ended up happening is I actually lost the job. But
mm-hmm.
by the time I lost the job, he had given me that peace because I refocused myself, and I'm like, wait a minute. If you want me to be here, Lord, I'll be here. So like
mm-hmm.
in that
mm-hmm.
last 6 months or so that I was there, I was still able to hold my head up high and not worry about whether I was going to lose my job or not. And that was like when Pastor said to me, where is your faith? And I'm like, oh, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
He's right. So I trusted him. Now, me thinking that he was going to deliver me out of my troubles by changing the environment and let me stay in that
mm-hmm.
job, but his way of delivering me was for me to lose my job. And here I am 5 years later working my
mm-hmm.
way back to the same place where I was in a better job. So I say
mm-hmm.
that to say that when he delivers us out of our afflictions, when he delivers us out of our troubles, it may not be the way that we think it should be. It may not be, you know, as you're going through, you may be like, Lord, I thought you said you had my back. I thought you said that, you know, you were going to give me the desires of my heart. But it's all about what his will is. And when he's delivering
mm-hmm.
us, a lot of times he's delivering us to something greater that we can't see.
Yes, yes.
While we're in middle of it, it's like, but Lord, that's not how I wanted it to be. But if you look at Joseph, you know, who he's recounting about, what he went through, it was a minute before, and God would deliver him one way, and then he would run right back into another
mm-hmm.
wall, and he'd deliver him again, and then he'd come
mm-hmm.
back into
mm-hmm.
school again. And a lot of it wasn't even by his own fault. Well, in the beginning, he bragged a little too much to his brothers, so God had to humble him. But in the end, as he was older, that's when God really gave him the blessings. It's like what you meant for evil, God turned it into good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
where that
mm-hmm.
scripture comes from. So as we're going through, we know that God's going to deliver us out of our troubles, out of our afflictions, just as he did with Joseph, bringing it to the 21st century church. But we got to understand that he's going to do it his way. So we can't get
Amen.
Discouraged. If it's not the way that we want it to be or what we think it should be, but knowing that he knows the beginning and the end at the same time.
Amen, amen. And the second part of that verse, Dr. G, it says he gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And a lot of times, like what Sheila G was saying, it takes a minute for us to get to a place where God can give us that favor and wisdom, to get us mature enough to be able to handle it. And I think in the 21st century church, we don't want to wait for nothing. You know, like Jewish G was saying, Joseph went through a whole lot, you know, with his family, with, you know, people that he was serving. He was put in prison. He was accused of raping the Pharaoh's wife. He was, you know, at the verge of being killed and all these things. And through those trials, and I know when we study the book of James, you know, God works patient through us. And you know, through the trying of our faith works patience. And it gives us favor and wisdom. And what this favor and wisdom does is it prepares us to be used by God to bless God's people or to carry out God's plan in our lives. And I know you were talking about last week in your 25 years of pastoring how God has matured you by bringing the different types of people to the church, through the church, and out of the church to be able to mature you to where you are now to minister to the people that are coming to the church now. But I think the 21st century churches, we don't want to go through these trials. We don't want to go through these afflictions so that God can give us the favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, the king, and be able to minister later on in ministry to get God the glory to bless by blessing his people, Dr. G.
You're right. And I mean, I was sitting here thinking, because when you look at the 21st century church, its leaders, you know, we want the power, we want the prestige, we want the money, we want the fame, we want it all now. And mm-hmm. at times it's not so much about helping the people, it's about getting paid. And we mm-hmm. want to get now. We want our blessings now. You know, we want to be, I hate to say it, but we want to be lifted up with a lot of, you know, the titles and, you know, this whole business now where a lot of the Baptists, you know, everybody's becoming a bishop. That's the thing now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I call it a social club, but, you know, we're not so much ready to go through what Joseph went through or what Stephen was getting ready. We want it now. We want everything that we want now. And when the problems come, because see, that title is not going to do anything but bring more problems on you. But mm-hmm. we look at that. We look at the prestige, the power, you know, all of that. And it's more to it than that. You know, God is looking for servants. And I think, you know, with the 21st century church, you know, we've gotten out of that mode of being a servant. You know, just this week, you know, on my job, and we don't normally talk church there, but had two young ladies that brought up the fact that, you know, they were interested in coming to visit my church. And after up with one of, you know, Starbucks manager, she was sharing me, she grew up in a small church, she's about to get married, and fiance, you know, does not want to go to a big church. And then one of her workers came up and said, well, Miss Greg, but you've never invited me to your church. So, you know, I think the way that we present ourselves, you know, that favor and wisdom, you know, God has to prepare us to receive all of the blessings that he wants to give us. But when we first start out, you know, no, we're not ready and we're not prepared for all of that. But after you've gone through some stuff, after you've gone through your knock and been told about yourself and called some names, you know, that was Joseph's way of being of maturing and having to be set down in order to be lifted up.
Right.
And it's the same 21st century church. That's why a lot of these young preachers just don't get it. You know, we have to go through in order to get to. And I look at what God is doing now, I can be more grateful. I can understand now. All I can do is say, Lord, thank you. No, I did not like it, but I can appreciate it more now of what I've already gone through.
Amen.
Amen. Sheila G., want to chime in on that?
No, I was just agreeing with him as well. That wisdom, if you don't go through things and if you don't get through things, you don't learn how to be dependent and have the faith to trust in God. And if you don't do that, then you don't gain that wisdom. Joseph gained his wisdom through his challenges. Because the dream and the things that he said to Pharaoh. And then, you know how you feel like sometimes you take one step forward and get knocked back two. But then you can still take another step forward, and that's how you gain your wisdom. And that's what he's talking about here in that scripture, that Joseph gained wisdom not because of the favor. He received the favor, but he gained the wisdom because of the challenges that he went through, so that he could see that when God brought him through, that's when he was receiving the favor. And we bring it into the 21st century, that's the same thing, is that we take what comes up against us, that our enemy will always be our footstool. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But that doesn't mean a weapon ain't going to be formed against me.
Amen.
If you trust in God, when that weapon is formed against you, you take it, you learn it. And a lot of times the weapons that are formed against us are because of stuff that we've done.
Amen.
God told us go right, and we went left anyway. And then we ran into a wall, and you fall on your butt, and then dust yourself up, get on up, and you say, okay, I'm not going to go left again anymore. And that is how you gain that wisdom. That's why I was saying how when he had that dream and he shared his brother that he was a favor and that he was going to be ruler over them someday, he peeped his whole card way before because he didn't understand what God was showing him. So he had to suffer the consequences of that, so that by the time he went full circle and came back and he was ruler over them, was much more humble. And that's when he was saying, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So every challenge that we make, whether it's on our own or whether it's just Satan picking on us and God bragging on us, we have to take that as wisdom, as another stepping stone to the growth in Christ.
Amen, amen. And that growth, you have to grow. You can't rush it. It has to take its course. And
right.
I think sometimes we don't allow it to take its course. We want to rush it, and it takes time. But over time, God will shape his servant, shape their heart, shape their mind. He will give them favor. He will give them wisdom. And ultimately, through that maturity, that shaping, that favor, that wisdom, God's plan can move forward. And sometimes we feel like it's taking forever. Sometimes we feel like it's not fair. Sometimes we feel like we don't want to go through it. But ultimately, again, God knows the beginning and the end at the same time. And we are going to carry it out, you know, whether we go kicking and screaming or not. We're going to carry it out. And God, he uses us where he knows we are going to be effective for him. And that's one of the tough things. And, you know, thinking about our mom this week, of how he is using her in her physical condition to still minister to those that are around us. And that's only something that someone who has her relationship with God can do. Everybody
right.
can't go through that and do that and be that strong in a physical condition like that and still
Amen.
Be able to minister in that physical
right.
condition. And everyone has to understand what your role is. And your role is not my role. My role is not your role. And, you know, we can question God, but God isn't obligated to give us an answer. But in the end, God will let us know, sort of like with Joseph at the end of this, he said, "What man went for my bad, God turned around for my good." And so
right.
we might not know why she is going through her physical body, but God
right.
knows the end. He knows
That's
the answer.
Right.
He knows that she is his servant.
Right.
To deal with this and to be able to minister. And you mentioned last Thursday of the illness and the sickness that I went through
right.
as a young child. It was incredible, but
yeah.
it was done so that I for such a time as this that I'd be able to
yeah.
minister in these times. Sheila G.
Amen. Exactly. And I was just thinking that same thing, that you were a very, very sickly child, But
it was incredible. Yeah.
It was incredible. And it was, you know, there are times I didn't think that you were going to make it at all with, you know, between your lungs collapsing and everything. And Ma was like, the way that we're fighting for her, she would fight for you. Like, nope, I'm not giving up on my child because I've got this. And now fast forward to today, she's still ministering through song and everything with what she's going through. But he used her and Ma and Dad to keep you going so that now you're able to bring that ministry forward and be a servant to others. So that's why when we're going through this, we can't give up. We have to push. And now we have that opportunity to do the same thing for her that she did for us. But when she would see you, what you went through as a child, nobody, and even when, you know, and we all, and let's be real, every last one of us had our wild phases once we got to a certain age, started 18. But it was important for all of us to have that wild phase so that when we came to ourselves, it's like, okay, Lord, I tried to do it my way, and I was just as miserable, and everything kept at least get in a mess now, I have the faith to believe, and I know that you're going to bring me out. And so God took you through the illness, took you through the challenges of you know, once you were being healed, so that you can minister to others to say, been there, done that, turn my life over to Christ, God has got this. And that's what we're supposed to do in the 21st century church as servants, as leaders in the Christian community, is to reach out. And, you know, Dad always said us, don't look down on a man unless you're bending down to bring him. Not to be holier than thou, but to reach out and share with others, been there, done that. Try Jesus. Try him for yourself. It's a personal relationship. I can't judge you anyway, but when I'm telling you that, to try him, I'm not telling you that your life is going to be perfect. I'm not telling you that you aren't going to have any challenges. I'm telling you how you can have peace, how you can have joy, and how you know the Lord is going to give you the strength to go through. At least you have hope that regardless of what you're going to go through, you can pull on your past victories and know that God is going to get you through it. And that's what we need to do as leaders, is to help people to grow in that wisdom. I think a lot of times we've done disservice over the years because we made the church seem like you had to have your act together before you came to church.
Right.
Holier than thou. And I know when we first went to New Birth, that was how it was. It was like, you know, people walk into church and people would look at that like, okay, you don't have this, or you have this, or you're not doing this, doing that way. But, you know, we were like, no, that's not how God did it. And I think now, because churches have become so holy and holier than thou and mighty, now that's why we have some of the issues that we have now, because people are like, well, the church is just as cliquish and bad as out here in the world, so I may as well stay here out in the world instead of being loving and compassionate and accepting people where they are and helping them to grow in that wisdom.
Amen. And what you're saying is that, you know, when trouble comes, the church should be able to be mature enough and be available to present Christ.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't care who you are. In life, there's a term that when the crap hits the fan,
something's
going to hit the fan.
It's going to hit.
And Dr. G in verse 11, it says, it says, now there came a dearth over all the land. In other words, the crap hit the fan. There was no food. There was no – people were dying. It was a famine. People were dying. In other words, the crap hit the fan, Dr. G. And you know, in people's lives, I don't care who you are, what your social, economic, religious, your whatever your background is, political, whatever your black, white, whatever. Sooner or later, the crap is going to hit the fan in your life or somebody close to your life. And the question is, who are you going to turn to, and who's the church telling them to turn to? And so God knew that there was going to come a time, and he gave Joseph these dreams of what was going to happen. And he prepared, and they stored away grain for when this stuff hit the fan. And so when it hit the fan, because they were prepared by God, they were able to, in that verse 12, it says, but when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. In other words, when the crap hits the fan, or there's a famine, or there's stuff in a dire condition, God has prepared a way. In other words, there's still corn in Egypt. There's still life. There's still hope in Egypt. And you know, when people run into situations in their lives and it's dire, Dr. G, the church should still be able to say, hey, there's still corn in Egypt, or there's still a God in heaven that still cares about his people, that's prepared a way, that's prepared a deliverance. And we as a church should be mature enough to be able to say, hey, you know, it's rough, it's bad, but there's a God that's still our deliverer, that's still our provider, that's still Jehovah Jireh, our provider, that's still our ram in the bush, and he is able to get us through this dearth in the land when the stuff hits the fan. Pardon my rhyme, Dr. G.
But, you know, because I was sitting and thinking, and that is exactly why Joseph had to go through what he went through. You're talking about finding favor and being wise. I mean, he was young and dumb when he had the dreams, and maybe if he had gone about it a different way, all that stuff wouldn't have happened to him. But God knew what was going to happen. He allowed him to go through all of that to settle him down to the point that he could become wise and not only save his brothers and family, but Egyptians. So all of that was in the Lord's plan. And to bring it on home, we too have to go through in order to become wise and find favor with God. But if we would get out of ourselves, you know, we're so stuck on stupid, we just don't know how to step out of the clouds and allow the Lord to use us. You know, we want to complain about the bad times. I told folk at New Birth, look, I don't complain. I accept the bad to go with the good. And you deal with everything that comes your way because God does plan for it. And it may be bad right now. That's why, you know, we've gotten the church to the point where we don't judge folk, and that's a biggie because people are looking for places where folk are not going to judge you by the way you look, judge you by age, or, you know, what you wear, your past, and all of that. But it's beyond all of that. And you're right. The church has got to become mature. We got to get out of all that old tradition stuff about where we don't do this here, we don't do that. But look, go back and let the Lord use you. And you know, change is good as long as we don't become holier than thou or too almighty that we cannot be what God wants us to be able to help other people. Because that's the other thing that a lot of us, a lot of the churches, they go in the opposite direction. And, you know, they become too famous or whatever you want to call it that nobody can to them, nobody can reach them. They got to go through this, that, and the other in order to talk to a pastor. Come on, let's get real.
Amen. And Sheila G, it's just like God to know that when you hit your rock bottom, or I wrote a song, I didn't know how I was going to make it, but he brought me through. And that's just God. He knows that when you hit your lowest moment, that he's going to be right there. And that is what the church should be pointing to. Like you said, not high, mighty, not holier than thou, but saying, hey, you know, all of us go through ups and downs, but I found out that you can trust in God, you can trust in Jesus, that when you're at your lowest, when there's a dearth in your land, when the crap has hit the fan, that God will be there, and he's still the corn in Egypt. In other words, God has sustenance for you. He has the ability to sustain you even in your most difficult moments, and he'll put people in your lives. He'll put people in your lives early on in your life that will plant a seed, that will water it, that will nurture it. And even when they're off the scene, that seed that they planted about God and through God will be able to give you that sustenance that you'll be able to make it through. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's the key, too, is that we need to share with others the tools that we can use to fight off the enemy, to at least get our emotions under control, because that's where Satan comes at us based off how we feel. And how we feel and our emotions get caught up based off what we see. And you're going to feel that. We are human beings and we are in this flesh. But we need to share with people the tools to help you to get out of that funk. You know, like with you and I, it's songs. There's certain songs. You write songs. Me, I'll listen to a song like this week when we were going through with Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was at a low point where I was just so exhausted, and Pastor was here like helping me emotionally, but I was very emotional. But every time I got in the car, God gave me a song. He gave me a song of everything's going to be all right. Then he gave me the song of he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And then he gave me the song of he's a miracle worker. So, you know, we have people these tools that say, you know, sometimes if you just sing, you're so happy. You know, if you're feeling down and you're getting emotional, and you find that thing that God gives you to kind of like the spirit overtake the flesh. It could be a scripture. It doesn't have to be exactly the these and the thous, but it could be like the Lord is my light, and my salvation, whom shall I fear? It could be one scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if you just keep saying that over and over again, just like when Jesus went in the wilderness, that's what he did. He would throw some scriptures to Satan. Satan was still harassing him, but it took him up in the spirit and not and out of that flesh. And so those are the things that we need to tell people, like you said, or call a friend, somebody that you know is going to encourage your soul, but tell you the truth, too. You know, you need somebody that's not going to just be a yes person. It's going to be like, okay, yeah, if you trust in God, you can't do it this way. But we need to share that with people that you're going to run into trouble. You're going to have challenges. Your emotions are going to make you want to give up. You find that connection, that personal relationship with you, with God, whether it's writing a poem, whether it's writing a song, whether it's singing a song, whether it's just one little piece of a scripture, whether it's, you know, calling up your friend, your spiritual friend. Use those tools that are around you, and that will run the situation. It's not going to make the situation go away, but it'll help you and give you that strength and gain that wisdom so that when it does come at you, you know how to fight it off.
Amen. Amen. And Dr. G, we're going to finish up with this verse, but in verse 12, there's a key word in there. In the King James Version, it said, but when Jacob heard, and that key word heard means that somebody was telling somebody about a place where they could get sustenance. When the crap hit the fan, somebody was still aware. Somebody was still prepared to speak a word that there was some place that they could get help. And that just lets us know, as the church today, we can't sit down, we can't stop preaching, we can't stop teaching, because there's somebody that still needs to hear a word that you know there is a God in heaven, there is a Savior that still saves, there is a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's vein, that people need to hear the gospel. You know, churches can get caught up with entertainment and, you know, a whole lot of stuff, but somebody needs to hear a word from the Lord, a true word, the word of God. And, you know, in their dire need, in verse 12, it says, but Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, and he sent out our fathers first. And you know, when the church becomes quiet and stops preaching the word, then that's when the hope is gone. That's when the country or the nation is in trouble. But as long as someone is telling somebody, as long as the church is standing up, proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming the good news, that there's still hope and there's a substance and there is a balm in Gilead. There is someone that can still heal the sin sick soul. Dr. G.
Yeah, well, you're right. And the thing is, we have to be able to speak the truth. I was just sitting here thinking about all these evangelicals that have gone along with Trump and the foolishness that he's talking. And even now, some of them are still standing strong with it. But we have got to get back to speaking the truth, because that's what people are looking for. They, as you said, they need to hear that there is hope. And this is where you can get it from. Not so much in what I can do, but I can put you in touch with someone that I know. His name is Jesus. And this is what he's done for me. And we have to be able to listen and to point folk in the right place. Because as you said, you know, Jacob said, I heard. And that's what folk looking for. They need to hear that there is a place that we can go.
Amen.
Amen, amen. We want to get to the phone lines. This is a powerful ministry through this word tonight that's letting us know that God is still at work in his people, in his church, and that church has not gone silent. The word has not gone silent. The word is still going out. And he's always going to have somebody that's going to proclaim, you know, that God is alive and well, and that there is hope in God. And so we're going to go through the phone lines. We're going to ask the question that it gets us to think: is are we living our lives where people would be able to see our trust and our faith in God, and be inquisitive or want to know about this God or this Jesus? Are we living a life that people would, in the midst of their trial and tribulation, say, hey, I see how Sheila G or Dr. G, in the midst of their trial and tribulation, are still trusting God. Let me try this God out. Do people want to hear about God? So that's going to be the question. Do people want to hear about God by the way you live? And sometimes church folk need to repent and do some different stuff.
Right.
Because some of the lives we live, sometimes the lives we lead, people don't want to hear nothing about God because of the way we live. So we're going to ask the question tonight. Do people want to hear about God by the life that we're living? So we're going to go to phone lines. First caller, last four digits, 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, people want to hear it, but people want to see it more in the action than to hear it.
Exactly.
You know, you can talk all day long, but if you're not living what you're supposed to be doing and what you say, then people look at more what we do than what we say to a certain degree.
Amen.
Yes, we need to witness and we need to share, but our walk should be that witness. And we should ask God every day to help us. And yes, we all go through difficult times. We all have trials and tribulations. And some we bring on ourselves and some we don't. But when we do go through them, we should be able to, like you all been saying tonight, to remember the goodness of God and what he has done for us and how he has brought us through, so that when we do share with people, we can have a true testimony and a true witness unto them.
Amen.
And be honest with them. Sometimes we are ashamed. You know, we want people to think that, you know, we've been there all our life. But sometimes we have to let people know, you know, I was in a dry place one time, and I didn't know which way I was going. And if it wasn't for someone coming in and helping me and ministering to me, I would have been totally out of my mind, or I would have committed suicide, or I would have, you know, just killed somebody, anything. You know, a lot of times we want to project this.
That's
I got it made holier than I never been there. But when we ask God to come in our life and let us be that humble witness for him, and pray that when people come to us, we can share what God wants us to say and not what we want to say, you know. And I thank God for the things that he allowed me to go through, the various experiences growth experiences that he allowed me to go through, because they were humbling experiences for me. And if I had not gone through them, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't know how to deal with certain situations. Mm-hmm. And then I wouldn't even know whether or not God could have brought me through them.
Lord,
so I thank him. He, you know, by experiencing these things in life that God, these various difficult experiences and challenges in life, it let me know that God is a way maker. And I know all about being downsized, not having a job, going a whole year. And when the unemployment run out, the last week of the unemployment, that's when they call me for a job, you know. I know all about God being that on-time God. You know, I've been through that downsizing two or three times, you know. So I know all about, you know, not having, since I've been retired, it's been a totally different experience. As far as my dependence upon God, he has shown me some impossible things, some impossible situations. And so I just thank God that now when I share with somebody that I know God will make a way out of nowhere, you know, that's from the heart. Because I've gone through it. I've gone through some moments where I knew some times in my life that if it had not been for God, if it had not been his healing hand, if it had not been for him putting the food on the table, if it had not been for him touching my body, if it had not been him giving me peace in the midnight hour, you know, where would I be? So these are the things that I know for a fact, that God is a healer. I've seen him heal my son. I've seen him heal myself. I've seen him heal other people, you know. So I praise God and I thank him for his goodness. But if it wasn't for me going through these things and he teaching me how to wait on him, that's the other thing, teaching me how to be patient and how to wait on him. And he's still working with me. I'm still a work in progress. It's still a lot wrong with me that I need God to fix.
Amen.
But Amen. I'm still praying that he will continue to use me as his light that shineth in darkness. The little bit that I do have, Lord, fix it, perfect it.
Yeah.
I still need a whole lot more work done on me.
Amen.
The operation is not finished yet.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digit, 1487. 1487, you're on there.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Well, the first thing I noted, wait a minute, tell me that question again, please.
By your life, you're living for God. Do people want to look at your life and they want to hear about this God that you're living for?
Oh, yeah.
Just by your walk.
Yeah. Well, I believe that's so, because he has came into my life and he changed me. The first thing he had to do, I always had a kind heart, but he had to teach me humility. He had to do some work in that area with me, and I know people can see the change in me because I've changed, because he changed my walk. He changed the way I open my mouth. He changed everything about me. And I'm thankful to him for that, because that's what makes somebody want to come and ask you something about the Lord if they know you a church goer. And I'm thankful for that. And I give him the best advice that I can. But that still means that they saw something. They saw the change in me. They saw I had changed my life. They saw that it's not just about talking the talk. You got to walk that walk, too, you know, because you don't know where, who looking at you and where they looking from and all of that, you know. So, but if you have faith and trust and belief in God, you got the faith in God and you trust him and wait on him and you know he's going to make the situation right for you, and you live for these scriptures, because that's what I do. They keep me on the straight and narrow. They really, really do. They give me peace. They give me joy. They just help me so much. And yes, and I believe people can see that I'm a different, changed person, and they would come to me, because many of them have came to me. I try to, you know, invite them to my church and everything. You know, people come to you. They see something in you when they come to you.
Yes.
You know, you ain't got to have no $1,000 in the church and all that, or be no bishop or be this or that the other, because God ain't looking at that. That heart better be right. He want that heart to be right. See, so when you change that, you can change everything. Everything will fall in place.
Amen.
As long as you have faith in him and you believe in him and you trust in him and you wait on him. Don't try to make nothing happen for the what you wanted to happen, because, see, God knows stuff that's going to happen that we don't know. And when something happened to me right now, whatever I have to go through, and I go through stuff like everybody else, but when it happens like that, or if it's negative or bad, I say, well, he got that out the way for me because he got something better for me. He got something better waiting up the road for me. That's how I look at it, you know. So I just want to say that I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he reached down and touched me, and I, you know, he's got his hands on me. He hasn't let go of me. He never failed me yet, and I'm gonna do what I know is right for him, because this is what he wants, and that's gonna make you shine more. When you're really doing it and living it and living your life like that, it's gonna come out. It's not nothing you can hide, because if you're trying to be phony, it's gonna show up.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna show up.
Somewhere
or another, it's going to show up, because you're going to fall by the wayside, because you know you're not doing what you say you're doing, you know?
Come on,
so
man.
I'm just thankful that he's given me a good outlook on things now, and I understand things better, and he gives me a peace and a joy. Yeah, I get upset sometimes, but I don't go off and do the things I used to do when I got upset. So I know that he's working with me. I know he is. And I just thank him for it, and I thank you all for listening. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 3343. You're on the air. 3343. Caller 3343. You must be listening in. We go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1411.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what's been said. I think most people, especially who don't know God, it's one thing to talk about it, but, you know, those are the same individuals who are going to be watching you and looking at you, especially when times are tough, when times are difficult, when you're going through it. And then, you know, they kind of put themselves in your shoes and say, well, you know, I can't imagine having a smile on my face or having just a sense of calm and peace as I'm going through something. And usually that's the times that people begin to be intrigued to say, you know, no one's asking about God or talking about God when everything's great and you're getting everything you ever wanted. But when you still have a smile on your face, when you're acting as if, people are sitting there saying, wow, like, what is it? What's going on? Have you finally cracked or lost your mind? It's like, no, I've known Jesus and I found Jesus. And through it all, I understand that Jesus is what I'm going to continue to lean on and hold on to get me through these difficult times. And I know Ali said I touched on it as well too, especially people that knew me before, you know, Christ, but knew me before I decided to take this walk serious, who knew me before, you know, I was doing the things that I'm doing now to try to get better. They've even said, well, look, it's not even about what you're going through. We just feel a presence and feel a spirit and just see something different about you. Then they have to ask, what is it? Why is it that, you know, not only when you're going through things, but even when we're just talking to you, we can sense of spirit, and when you're talking and when you're elaborating and when you're doing things, or you say, hold up, I can't do that. I got to make sure it's 8 o'clock, it's Thursday. I got to get out of here. I got to make sure I get on this line. Even if I got to just park my car in the cut somewhere and just sit on the line, people are wondering why and what's going on. But again, even as Christians, we talk about it. Everybody knows scripture. Satan knows scripture. Everybody knows the word of God, but who's really applying it to their walk? Who's really utilizing and doing it and the application of the word and of the scriptures? Who's really doing it? Because that's really what it is. That's how you grab people's attention, because we're in a society, in a world where I got to see it. I got to touch it. You got to show it to me. You got to point it out and say, yeah, there it is right there. And that's how people get it. But we are that embodiment of show it to me. Let me see it. Let me see how it works. Let me see it in full capacity and full form. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we don't understand that it starts with us. It's not about us, but it starts with us. And that's how people generally see it. Now, everybody's not going to see it, but I think the more consistent we are in our walk, gradually people will gravitate to you. Gradually people will say, hey, like, you know, I heard kind of what happened, you know, to a loved one or whatever, but then they come to you and then they even just hear it in, you know, in your spirit that, you know, we're upbeat, we're positive, we're always looking on the bright side. We understand that God has his hand in everything. And I think when people start to really put themselves in your shoes and say, man, I couldn't possibly do that, that's the intriguing part of it. That's the enigma wrapped in the riddle. They're like, well, what is it? How can you possibly sustain it? Like, well, what's sustaining me is not of this world. What's sustaining me is not something you can go out and buy or order on Amazon or just go down and sit down and talk to a therapist about. You know, you have to know the Lord. And as my grandmother used to say, and my mom used to say, you know, you got to try them for yourself. You know, my walk is not your walk. Where I'm at in my life is not where you're at in your spiritual life. So you have to start somewhere. But again, people have to be encouraged and people have to want to do it, but they have to see that in us. I can't sit here and have all these scriptures hanging up from my cubicle and I'm walking around with all these crosses and things and I'm talking all this other stuff, but the second something bad happens, I'm mad, I'm upset, I'm in my feelings. I'm not portraying or exhibiting characteristics of someone who has all of these things. But again, it starts with us. And I am too a work in progress. You know, God has to work me. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not always at my best, but I try. You know, I'm not going to always do things the right way, but guess what? I'm trying. You know, I'm not going to always be perfect, but guess what? I show up and I work and I roll my sleeves up. And guess what? If I fall down, if I stagger, I analyze, okay, what can I do? Where did I fall short? How do I get better at this? Okay, maybe I can talk to the pastor about this, or maybe I can talk to my mom about it, but it's always continuing to try to go and try to get better. Because remember, these tests, these things that we go through, they're not going to always be the same. If you go conquer something, guess what? You know, the next time it may be foreign to you. But guess what? A new, what they say, new level, new devil. So it's like every time I level up, somebody else is waiting there for me to throw another something in. And guess what? And I got to be better. I got to be better than I was on the previous level. I got to be able to even have a harder smile than I did the previous level before, because I know Satan is waiting for me. Granted, Satan can't make us do anything, but the temptation is there and people are watching. And a lot of people are watching to want us to fail, to want us to fall, to want us to say, okay, we'll see how this God is now. Where's your Messiah now? When you find out that, you know, your loved one is sick, or find out you're going through some tough times with your job, or your kids won't listen, or you're just going through whatever it is life has to hand you, people are going to watch and say, well, we'll see how good and powerful this God is. And guess what? These battles, these storms, these things we go through may not be a day, may not be a week. It may be a couple months. For some of us, it may be some years. It may be a lifelong thing that we got to just constantly wake up every day and make sure that we're on it, because we know we're going to be tested. We know we're going to be challenged in so many different ways, and people are watching. But, you know, I say all that to say that for me, it's about action. Mm-hmm. I'm done talking. I was done talking about 10 years ago when I decided that I got to start applying it to it. And, you know, when people talk to me and we talk about it, I don't beat them over the head with it. I just plant a seed. I give them a word, and I let that word stay with them and marinate and let it fester and let it just whatever pass with that. I let it convict them. And then guess what? If they want to come back to the well for more, I'll be ready to give it to them. And then we start the building process. And then guess what? That person can establish their own relationship. And guess what? Now they can be the vessel that God can use. So guess what? Now somebody can go to them and say, well, how are you doing it? Well, Brother Brandon was going through some things, and he told me about God, so I tried him for myself. Now I'm telling you the same thing. Because guess what? Somebody told me. I had to ask my parents, like, how in God's name do you work with people at the job when I started working? How in God's name do you deal with these bill collectors and deal with these stressors? So I had to go to my parents and say, what in the world? Like, what is going on? And then they said, it's God. That's how we go through it. Yeah. We've been going through it. But again, I saw it in my parents, but I didn't understand what I was looking at. So as I studied the word, I could, now it clicks. Now it's making sense. Now I understand it. And now I'm able to apply that to my walk. But again, I am a work in progress. I never, ever have woken up and thought that I've ever had it or I've mastered the art of Christianity. You know, it's a constant thing that we're always learning, and it's always evolving. And I believe that God's word, you know, you can utilize it in so many different ways. It's not just a one-sided thing. You can use God's word to apply to so many things that we go through. Because guess what? Even though we've advanced in technology, the same stuff we go through now, people went through the Bible. Yep. They had problems on their job. They had problems with their family member. They had problems in the churches or the mosques. They had problems out in the fields working. I mean, they're people just like we are. They're no different than the people we are, except it's a different time frame. So if they're going through it in the Bible and we've seen their success, why can we not have the same success? And I know Pastor and I talked about it a while ago, not to run off a tangent, but I couldn't have been in people down there that Moses was trying to free in Egypt and being in slavery and bondage and going through that. And I'm sitting there like, what am I complaining about? I'm like, I got a job every day. I got my freedom. I can get up and go or whatever, and I'm here complaining. But you got people that were enslaved and just told one day that, yeah, your prayers are going to be answered, but it may be some years. It may be some decades before, you know, you're free. Then you got to wander through the wilderness for another 40-plus years or something like that. So mm-hmm. it's like I can't even imagine going through that. But, again, it helps us put things in perspective to say if these people went through it and they still gave God the glory, the honor, the praise, what am I upset about? Why am I so bitter? And I just, it clicked for me. And then I think once it clicked, I was hooked. I was like, all right, I'm addicted to Christ. I'm good. I'm going to try. And all God is asking that we do is just continue to show up. That's all he's asking for. Show up and just try as hard as you can. But, again, when people approach me, they've either seen the difference in what I used to be or they've seen me go through difficult times, and then it intrigues them, and they wonder, how is it that you're able to do this with a smile? And I tell them that it's nothing but the Lord. But, again, we got to be sure and be mindful that it starts with us. You know, we're in church every day, but guess what? The people that need to be saved aren't in church every day. So, granted, we're getting better amongst ourselves, but God intended for us to take this, to go out and to be a blessing unto others. And mm-hmm. the only way we can mm-hmm. do that, to capture their spirit and to capture their curiosity, is to show them. We can explain it to them later, but sometimes you got to show them first to wheel them in, and then once you wheel them in and you get their attention, then you can start breaking it down. Then you can start giving mm-hmm. them a word and kind of spoon feed them a little bit until they get it. And once they get it, you just sit back and watch God work. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Well, Dr. G, it's been a good word tonight. Great testimonies. Any final words and close out in prayer, please, sir.
Sure will. It's been a good a good evening, and we have to keep in mind that God has a plan for all of our lives, but we have to be willing to be used by Him and trust the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct our path, and understand that the Lord never did say that it's going to be an easy journey. But as we've said all night, he did say, "Lo, I'm with you always." And if he mm-hmm. says that, that's enough. Let's bow our heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another
thank
evening.
You.
We thank you, Lord, for being able to go through your word. Lord, we thank you for what we've learned. Help us now, Lord, that we can continue to stand strong on our faith, grow and find favor with you. Lord, we pray that you would continue to shine down that light from heaven. Help us to be all that we can be for you. Father, we ask these on all of the blessings and favors in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.